My baloney has a second name, it's M-E-Y. My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name, it's M-E-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say that Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
It is 3 o'clock. It is time for Maggie and the Millionaires. And my next guest gave all his millions away. He is legit, everybody. This is Chuck Collins. He is from Wisconsin, great-great-grandson of the very Oscar F. Meyer, founder of Oscar Meyer Meat Processing Plant, and as meat processing brand. And as I just noted, Chuck gave away all his money in his 20s and has spent the next several decades studying wealth inequality. He is the author of more than 10 books on inequality, wealth dynasties, and the truth about billionaire philanthropy. Chuck, we could do a whole show on that in and of itself. Like Warren Buffett, you're kind of a little full of it. But I digress. Also on climate and other topics, he is the director of the program on inequality and the common good at the Institute for Policy Studies. Welcome, Chuck. So happy to have you here on another episode of Maggie and the Millionaires.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. Great to be back in Wisconsin.
This is a discussion that I've been really excited to have because I think people can get a little checked out on this, right? Like, I don't know any billionaires. What the heck does it matter? It's not really impacting my life. What do I care what the tax policy of billionaires might be? But this deeply does matter. We all need to take it personally. And much of this is because of the manipulation of the stock market rather than pouring money and corporate profits back into their workforce or innovation or infrastructure through the payment of a fair corporate tax rate. So we're going to try to answer the question today, why should you take it personally that billionaires and their wealth are basically ruining your life? So let's start with the baseline here. Chuck, you say that billionaires are ruining things for all of the rest of us. Why?
Well, I think you set it up perfectly, Maggie. I think most of us are kind of like ho-hum or, you know, well, that, you know, the billionaires have a lot of money. That looks like a lot of excess. But I would argue it is actually really wrecking your life in ways you don't even know sometimes. I mean, the most obvious is democracy. The billionaires basically have hijacked and taken your vote, their money. Votes, you know, a million votes and you vote one vote. But take it down the list. They're trashing the environment. Billionaires are, you know, the biggest polluters, the biggest carbon emitters. They're jeopardizing our livable future. They are, you know, because they're dodging their taxes, they're basically raising your taxes.
Yep.
They are pushing up the cost of housing. And some of their investment companies are even sort of predating. They're predators on those of us who are, you know, just, and then I shouldn't entirely include myself, but, you know, people who are trying to buy their first home or whatever.
Yes.
And then all down the list, you know, they're making the racial wealth divide worse. They're, you know, you have pets that you love. Well, guess what? These billionaire hedge funds and private equity funds are moving into the veterinary care and pet care space, you know? So every corner of our lives, the billionaires are trying to extract wealth and make their money off the rest of us. So that's just my overall framing is billionaires matter to you personally. You should take it personally.
Yeah, take some offense. I was deeply offended when Citizens United, which we talked about with our guest yesterday, that Citizens United declared that speech, that money is speech. Well, wow, I guess we're all screwed then if we don't have millions and millions of dollars to have our voice amplified. Elon Musk being able to buy Twitter basically on a whim and controlling information flow. I don't care whether the particular billionaire happens to be more liberal or conservative. The fact that they wield that much influence over our democracy, over what we see and hear and consume, over the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the vet care that we get, with the price of our homes, is deeply concerning. And of course, they do all of this on the backs of American workers using the infrastructure that middle-class tax dollars pay for. It's all a bit much. One of the common retorts, Chuck, is this idea of billionaire philanthropy. Oh, we don't have to tax them. They just give it away. And that's the best way to do this. We just, through the goodness of their own heart, we'll just rely on their better angels. What is the hidden secret about billionaire philanthropy, Chuck?
Well, I think the big secret is the rest of us subsidize the private giving of billionaires. We basically are subsidizing private power. Billionaires are foregoing, they're opting out of paying their taxes when they give to their own private foundation or donor advised fund. And I'll come back to that, but you know, billionaires give to their own intermediaries. They get a tax break the year they give it away. And then, you know, maybe some of it dribbles out, but some of these foundations sort of continue to kind of serve their selfish interests. And here's the thing. These are our tax dollars at work. So for every dollar a billionaire gives to charity, you and I, the rest of us, chip in 74 cents in lost tax revenue. So the richer you are, the more tax benefits you give from giving to charity. So think of it as you and me are subsidizing the private power of the billionaire class or their whims. You know, they want to give $1 million to their kids' private school so they could have a cool media lab or something. Yep. You know, the rest of us are chipping in 74 cents of that dollar that they gave in lost tax revenue.
Can we lean into that a little bit, Chuck? I want to break down why that's true for people, because I think this is so important to understand. When they give, and typically really, really rich people aren't writing a billion-dollar check to UNICEF. Okay, that's not how this works. They create their own trusts and foundations where they alone get to direct money, usually prestige giving. I love that you mentioned, you know, a media lab. These are museum wings. In other words, it's the whims and personal preferences, the picayunes of the billionaire set. They get to direct that. Now, when they donate to their own foundation, not only do they get a tax break, which they get to direct it to, the foundation also has some, you know, wiggle room about who gets hired at the foundation, right? Does the foundation happen to own its own plane? Does the billionaire get to use foundation resources? All that. But the very moment that they give, the richer they are, the more tax they would have paid on it. It's effectively a tax dodge. I've tried to explain this to people before. They're like, well, isn't that great? They're giving to things. I'm like, no, they're putting it into a black box, dodging tax because of it and sheltering it there for God knows how long. And it's very easy to meet the Internal Revenue Code's baseline requirements for a 501c3 if you're a billionaire and you got teams of lawyers, accountants, etc., to make it look right on paper. This happens all the time. Am I getting that mostly right, Chuck? I mean, it is just a straight out tax dodge.
You're getting it 100% right. You know, now you can say, well, there are examples of wealthy people who give to charity and are it's selfless, or they're giving to things that actually do make the world better. And that's because we have this vibrant nonprofit independent sector out there, the Boys and Girls Clubs, the food banks, all these organizations that do great work. And one of the things that's changed is, say, 40 years ago, the charities, the nonprofit groups doing the work in our communities, were broadly supported by middle class and small donations. Not just wealthy donors, but everybody got tax benefits. What's happened in the last, with the rise of the billionaire class and the Trump tax cut in 2017 fueled this, only about 9% of the population takes a tax deduction. They itemize and take a tax deduction. Other people put money in the jar at the general store to help their neighbors, or give without any consideration of a tax reduction. It's only the ultra rich now that are really the beneficiaries of that tax deduction. So philanthropy has become more top heavy. It's more dominated by the rich, which is not to say small donors aren't still make a difference. And for so many community organizations or community-based radio stations or whatever, those donations matter. But it's become more and more the province of the rich. And let's say, you know, you create that Maggie Dunn Foundation with your first billion. You can, you know, you have to give away 5% a year. That's the one requirement. But there's so many ways people play shell games with that, as well as sort of self deal. Like, you know, you can have your kids and all your friends can be trustees, and you can pay them $100,000 each to be trustees. The Conrad Hilton Foundation. There are 8 family members. They all get, you know, $35,000 a year to show up for 2 meetings. So you can, there's a way in which that money keeps flowing back to the rich families. So you said it right. And we should be like, hey, you know, this is not private charity. This is taxpayer subsidized charity. And there's a public interest in knowing what happens with the money and knowing that it moves and flows to the real charities doing the work.
Chuck, you use a phrase and I love it. I'm going to adopt it. I hope I always remember to footnote you, Chuck. And then, of course, play the David Sedaris, Billie Holiday version of the Oscar Mayer Wiener song. And that is this line: every billionaire is a policy failure. As soon as I read it, I was hooting and hollering and like jamming my fist into the air. I was like, that's it right there. But for people who don't immediately, that doesn't immediately resonate with them, tell us why every billionaire is a policy failure in a country like the United States.
Well, you know, I think after World War II, we had an economy that was raising the people out of the middle class, out of the working class, raising people out of poverty. We had I would call it a shared prosperity economy. It wasn't as inclusive as we wanted. A lot of people of color were left behind, but it was still, you know, lifting up the boats. And the rules of the economy, the policies that govern the economy, tax policy, trade policy, all that, have now been rigged to funnel wealth to the top.
Let me just hop in there. We got to take care of some of our business so we can stay on the air. We're going to come back right there. What is rigging the economy? My special guest this half hour for this episode of Maggie and the Millionaires is Chuck Collins, the great grandson of Oscar Mayer, who gave away all of his money in the 20s, has been writing and thinking about inequality ever since. Don't go anywhere, folks. You're not going to want to miss a bit of my discussion with Chuck this Friday afternoon here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Our economy's on fire.
Oh my God, we're burning alive!
Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog! Now we got
here. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is in the 3 o'clock hour, so it is Maggie and the Millionaires. I'm talking with Chuck Collins, a Wisconsinite and the great grandson of Oscar Mayer. That's why we're listening to the hot dog song. I love a great hot dog. All the fixins. I kind of like it Chicago style, Chuck. What's your favorite kind of hot dog?
I'm kind of with you there. Yeah, pile it up, you know.
Pile it up, the dill pickle, the tomato slices. We digress. Let's get back to the money talk, sir.
When's that Wisconsin fair starting? No,
right? Yeah. One of the best fairs, state fairs in the country, I would say, earlier in August. We were talking about why the economy has effectively been rigged since that post-World War II era. And I appreciated your point, Chuck, that prosperity economy was not prosperity for everyone, that a lot of our federal laws left behind intentionally Black and brown folks. So it wasn't prosperity for everybody, but it did help expand the middle class at a greater rate and to a greater level than ever before in our country's history. Again, that New Deal, from the New Deal to that post-World War II sort of baby boom generation. It ain't that way anymore. Why is the economy now rigged against working folks? And by the way, when I say working folks, and you define it the way you want to, Chuck, I mean anybody, including those like lawyers and folks that people think may be fancy pants. I still rely on a paycheck. I always have. I've had financial troubles and been on hard times. Anybody, if you have to go to work, I mean you, the entire spectrum of working Americans, that very broad definition of from working poor to people on the higher end of the middle class, we're all still working for a paycheck. Why is the economy now rigged against all of those people?
Yeah, you know, I think late 70s, early 80s, the rules of the economy rigged so that wealth holders did better than wage earners. Just as you're saying, working for a paycheck, working for a living didn't move you ahead. We had 40 years of stagnant, flat, sometimes falling wages for a lot of workers. Whereas if you owned wealth, and the more wealth you had, the more your wealth expanded. So, you know, in 1983, there were like, you know, a dozen billionaires. Today, there's like 900. Now, some people say, isn't that great? Well, actually, no, it's not great, because so much of the wealth that used to go to middle class and working class folks in terms of incomes is now funneling up to the billionaire class. So having a growing number of billionaires is a policy failure. It means the rules are doing the wrong thing. We should be focused on a broadening the bottom 90% health, wealth, and wages, and not worry or not think of billionaires as any kind of positive indicator. It's a negative indicator.
Yeah, there was a fact included as you and I that we shared in our preparations for the interview today. I'm just going to share it and then let you say give your onions on this. I almost fell out of my chair. In the past few decades, basically in this period of time that Chuck and I are talking about, $50 trillion has been transferred from the bottom 90% of Americans to the top 1%. If our income distribution had remained similar to what it was in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, again, that very period that Chuck and I are referring to, rather than getting way worse, the bottom 90% of Americans would have retained trillions, which would have doubled median income in the U.S. That's the extraction of value. That's trickle-up economics, which is actually an economic fact. From stock buybacks, right, to the tax dodge through, quote, billionaire philanthropy, through this, the buybacks, dividend payouts, which extract value from corporations instead of growing the wages of middle-class Americans. And we still hear them whine that they can't afford more tax, that they can't afford to pay a minimum wage. It's absolutely unconscionable. I'll just mention this because we have been brought together by the group Patriotic Millionaires. And today, the New York Times reported that some of the ultra-wealthy donors have quietly asked Kamala Harris to tone it down on the taxing corporations and the ultra wealthy more. And it was interesting in the article itself, this line appeared. The billionaire minimum income tax could be particularly costly for ultra rich tech executives who derive their wealth from owning slices of company they helped start. Rather than selling their shares of companies, which would trigger taxes, those Americans take out tax-free loans backed by the stock that they own to finance their lifestyles. I've talked with Morris Pearl numerous times about the buy, borrow, die. This is another one of the massive tax dodges. And the Patriotic Millionaires put out this press release in response. The title of it I thought was great. Billionaire roosters concerned sun won't rise without them. that is where it's at. Here's Morris Pearl in this press release. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that Wall Street billionaires and Silicon Valley tech bros are trying to convince a presidential candidate to abandon her commitment to tax them and using their own alleged brilliance to justify it. I admire their chutzpah in claiming that taxing unrealized capital gains will stifle innovation. We're not trying to eliminate billionaires, or maybe we are, but what we're trying to do here is ensure that the rest of us have see real wage growth, real reinvestment in R&D, real investment in tax infrastructure, and that requires a fairer tax system. What other kinds of policy proposals, Chuck, do you think we should be looking at?
Well, I think taxes are really, really important in this, and that because the rich have figured out they have all these advisors, this whole wealth defense industry of lawyers and trust managers who help them avoid taxes. So getting the rich to pay their fair share, making sure companies are more broadly owned, workers not only, get paid wages, but maybe have an ownership stake, that would help pre-distribute the wealth. Think right now that we're living with this wealth pump that you described it, that Rand Corporation study, $50 trillion pumping up to the billionaire class, to the ultra rich. We want to reverse that pump. We want to have the wealth broader so I think tax policy, trade policy that benefits workers, not just owners, investments and things that create opportunity for everybody, debt-free college, low interest loans to buy homes. All these are, but the problem is that billionaires are blocking the path to a fair economy. And that's where, you and I, that's why the billionaires matter. Just the way you set it up, they're taking our treasure and they're blocking us from the kind of society we want.
Yeah, they're literally stealing from our pocketbooks. Our work and our taxes subsidize their wealth. By the way, I just want to reemphasize one point real quickly, Chuck, and that is that trade policy like tariffs don't help the middle class. It puts more money in billionaire pockets because we end up fitting the bill with everything that we buy. Chuck, this has been great fun. Happy Friday to you, sir. That's Chuck Collins, the great-grandson of Oscar F. Meyer, director of the Program on Inequality and the Common Good, here with me on Maggie and the Millionaires. Folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to wind up Friday after these brief messages here on the Thank Civic you, Media Radio Network. Thank you, Chuck.
Hey, if I was a scientist, you know what I would clone? Hot dogs.